Period.
I was stable.
Telephone call.
She called out. The conductor pretended not to have heard. Chiquiri da Cebu. I was stable.
She bellowed in a louder voice. The driver looked back at his passenger.
The conductor pretended not to have heard.
His bloodshot eyes searched. The taxi drew to a sudden stop. It threatened to roll back down the hill. There was murmuring and jeering from the passengers. The door slid open. One by one, passengers got out of her way. She clambered out. She demanded her luggage. The conductor made as if he had not heard, then headed for the boot. He pulled up the only white sack and dumped it on the muddy ground. The engine revved, belching black smoke. Slowly, the taxi began climbing the hill again. Sanyu gave the conductor one last stern look and smiled mischievously as he ran after the taxi. She looked around. Below the hill, a border border labored its way towards her. She shook her head. She would walk. He pedaled in the opposite direction. Here, it was very different from the city. So peaceful. The air was filled with the sweet scent of coffee trees in bloom. She had mixed feelings about this journey. That strange phone call. It felt ominous. Yet she couldn't wait to see Mama again. It had been almost a year. Would this mean the end of Owino Market? It was almost 2 years since she had been forced to set up her stall there. 2 years already. She remembered when she had completed her senior six in Kololo SS. What a relief. It had felt like ages. But then Mama had said, "Sanyu, whether you have passed or not, I have no more money to pay for your education." Gone were the days when Mama would have celebrated her academic achievements. To go to Makerere University, one had to pay. Results came. She had failed. Mama had been kind. "Sanyu, you must do business. I have little money for you to start. Sell in Owino. Men's clothes go faster." "What? Sell in Owino? What would her friends think?" "And Kasule, the head boy of City High School. Sanyu is selling clothes in Owino." That would be the end. Nakazi, that girl she hated, would finally win the race. Nakazi was from a rich family anyway. She and Kasule would meet in Makerere. Her heart ached. She had sulked for a long time, but soon had given in. And now the possibility of leaving Owino? As she walked, she remembered the songs they sang to woo customers. Sometimes in Luganda, or Kiswahili, and even English.
"Bei raisi! Muje mugule! Muje mwena! Chikumi, 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 chikumi!"
The Bantu stood out. Such flat noses. The big round faces matched their generous hats. The tall, handsome Luo. Dark skins. Forbidding looks that melted away when they smiled. Displaying white teeth. That reminded of a line in a poem. La Pobo, her teeth as white as milk. The Hamites were tall and smart, a lighter shade of skin. Tender-hearted and loving. She hiked prices for them. Some were fools to pay. Sanyu adjusted the sack on her head. Walking allowed her to enjoy the fresh village air. It was a quiet day. Many people slept in on Sunday before going for a church service at the school. She had missed being able to balance a load on her head without being knocked sideways. Kampala was a nightmare. The blaring horns, the traffic jams. The familiar path wound its way like a snake across her ancestral graves. This was home. She had grown up here. Sanyu passed her old school, deserted now. She remembered the countless times she had walked this path. Her first day at school. How she had clung to Mama's skirts, weeping loudly when the teacher tore her away. Children watching, wide-eyed. But later she had loved school. A black mamba slithered across the path a few meters away. It stopped, raised its head,
flicked its tongue and slid into the bushes. Mama always said, a black mamba is a bad omen. The last time she and Mama had seen a black mamba cross the path, Grandmother had died the next day. Mama with her superstitions. Thinking of Mama, she remembered the telephone call last night. She had wondered who it was. Then the familiar loud voice. Sanyu, it's me, Mama. Don't you know my voice anymore? She had screamed. Even Mama could use mobile phones. The world had changed. You must come home, darling. But Mama, no Sanyu, no buts this time. Listen to your old Mama for a while. But Mama, I've always listened to you. Mama rambled on and on. She needed to learn how to talk on the phone. We are rich, Sanyu, millionaires. We can build a real house now. You don't have to sweat in Owino. Not my baby. Come home right away. The line had gone dead in the middle of Mama's call. Sanyu had tried to call back, but no luck. The night had been long. Sanyu had tossed in her bed thinking of Mama's news. They were rich. Could she go back to school? But where did the money come from? Did Mama sell land? What about all those bad stories? Was Mama aware that people had been hurt because of greed for land? Maybe Father had left her a fortune. Mama hated to talk about him. Sanyu had never insisted. She knew he was a dean in Makerere University. She had overheard Mama's friend saying how cruel he had been to her. Mama was illiterate. She had almost thrown Sanyu out of the house when she had asked about that. Since then, that chapter was closed. Sanyu had made up her mind to board the first taxi and go home. Now as she walked through the familiar path, she was shocked at the changes. Land was fenced. Even the huge mango tree that she had climbed as a child to pick up juicy fruits were gone. A white truck loaded with bricks came roaring down the hill. Mud houses were gone. Brick houses sprouted everywhere. Walls, foundations, eucalyptus trees had been cut down to make scaffolding. Men were laughing and calling insults as they walked on the roof of a semi-finished house. Sanyu missed the old quiet village. This was not what she wanted to come back to. She quickened her pace as she saw the little madhouse. It was sandwiched by new buildings. Their kraal was gone. A yellow bulldozer was parked there. Her heart sank. She saw men fencing away their land. But she trusted Mama. A tear escaped her wide eyes and rolled to bless the land she had grown to love as a child. She would keep those beautiful memories. No one would dare take them away. Their door was ajar. She called out to Mama as she hauled the heavy sack off her head. Mama! I'm home! There was dead silence. She tried again. Mama, it's Sanyu! Is the luomba ready? I'm hungry. We town people like to eat real food early in the morning. She leaned the sack against the only tree that stood on the leveled ground. Mama had gone a little deaf. Sanyu entered expectantly. Mama! Mama! It's Sanyu! Your baby is... Mama lay, spread-eagled in the middle of the room. Congealing blood stained the once white mat. Her beautiful face was twisted in pain. Flies buzzed around her. A blood-stained iron bar lay close by. Witness to the cruel deed. Mama, what happened? Who has attacked you? Mama moved. She was alive.
Sanyu, darling, my baby.
Sanyu knelt to stroke her face.
I have to get help. No, Sanyu. Listen to your mama. For the last time. I was worried you'd come too late. I wanted to sell half the land. Half the land only. I wanted the best for you. The buyer said I should sell more. He persuaded me. It was for the best, he said. So I sold it, all the land. My God, I signed papers. We have to get out now. No one is safe. No, Sanyu. Listen to me. A few hours ago, thieves came. Jackals. Men who covered their faces. But I knew them. Yes, I knew them. They took all the money back. Sanyu, I'm sorry. You have come home to nothing.
Sanyu wept as she cradled Mama. In their faces was written a new anthem as her life ebbed away into the soil, into the land that had once been theirs.
Aosebo? Chikiri da Sebo.